of John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4, if you would. John chapter number 4. We're just kind of going to use this as a launching pad for us this morning. And we'll probably be dealing with our subject, Lord willing, if the Lord leads us that way, of course. Always subject to that. But we're going to be dealing with this probably both services today. The Lord's been speaking to my heart about these things. And we got revival meeting. And we can have revival without having a revival service. Most of the time, if you're waiting on a revival service to have revival, you probably will never have revival. Amen. Revival, amen, is supported with the services. It's encouraged. You get instruction. You get help. You get correction and all those things. But revival comes just strictly between you and the Lord. Amen. Doing business with the Lord. Just purposing in your heart. I'm going to seek after the Lord and His will in my life. I'm going to get back intimate with Him again. Amen. John chapter 4, and you'll see why I'm reading this verse here in just a few minutes. John 4, I'm going to read, let's read verse 23 and verse 24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers. Now, the emphasis there, if it's true, then there's a counterpart. Then there's that which is false, okay? So don't get caught up in just the action of worship, the appearance of worship. It could be false worship, amen. That's why we have a Bible, so we can give it a Bible test, amen. But it says the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, and the Father seeketh such to worship Him. What about that? The Father who is self-sufficient, self-existent, and has need, we have said this, have need of nothing. But here, is that's one thing God I don't think can do, is worship Himself. I don't know that I've ever said that before. I don't know that I ever thought that before till just now. God can't worship Himself. Amen. Here it says God is seeking such to worship Him. God is looking this morning for true worshipers. Could He find any in here? Could He find any on your pew? A true worshiper. Verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we ask You today to, Lord, help us this morning. We desire help of Jesus. We desire the touch of the Lord, and I pray, dear God, that You'll come on us in mighty power, and that, Lord, You'll be pleased, dear God, to work through Your Spirit, Your Scriptures, Lord, Your servant this morning. And I pray, dear God, that You will just get all the glory, and I'll be quick to give You the glory and the credit and the praise. Bring to my attention everything, God, that I need to see and say, and, Lord, we'll give You the praise. Save sinners and stir the saints of God. Work out Your purpose, will, and plan for us being together as we are this morning. I do not know the hearts of the people present, but I do know this. You know our hearts, Lord, in detail, and You are definitely able to meet every need that we have. But You will not force Yourself upon us. You will not, dear God, help us this morning out of force, but that You are inviting us to come to You. You're inviting us, dear Lord, to be obedient to Your word. You're inviting us this morning to forsake sin and to come to You. And I pray You'll help us today to know that we can get help, Lord, if we'll seek Your face, if we'll turn our focus, our faith, our attention to You. Have Your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Multitasking this morning. Amen. All right. In John chapter number 4, the reason that I would want to emphasize these verses as a launching pad for us is the usage of the word capital spirit, capital S, P-I-R-I-T, referring to God's Spirit. But also in verse 23 and verse number 24, there is the small case letter S, S-P-I-R-I-T, and that is referring to your spirit, your human spirit. And I want to look at that because the thought that's been on my heart this week, I've been just looking at it and studying on it, meditating on it, is that God cannot send revival and bypass His Spirit. I think that's understandable. I think that's a given. That anything, Brother Brad, that God does in this dispensation, and dispensation is just simply a particular time that God deals with man in a particular way. This is the dispensation of the grace of God. Amen. I'm glad it's not the dispensation of the law. I'm glad of that, aren't you? Most of us would already be dead. The law would have condemned us and we'd been dead. But this is the time frame. This is the dispensation of the grace of God, the dispensation of the church. This is a time that God is dealing with man in this particular way. And I'm grateful for that. But God does nothing for you, through you, around you, or anything unless it comes through the Holy Spirit. Amen. I mean, we ought to understand that. That's so basic. That is so basic. But how many of us treat the Spirit of God in our life with the importance that we should? Right. Well, Tim, God can do nothing for you. God can do nothing through you unless it comes through the Holy Spirit. Right. So that ought to cause me to want to be right with the Holy Spirit. And I can be wrong with the Holy Spirit. I can grieve the Holy Spirit. I can quench the Holy Spirit. Amen. I can be disobedient to the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can as well if you're saved. Right. But if God cannot do anything for me or through me, and revival affects both of those areas. Revival affects what God does to me. Revival affects what God does through me. Amen. What God does for me. All of that comes through the Holy Spirit. Amen. I wonder how many of us are really right this morning with the Holy Spirit. I wonder how many of us this morning, a yes or no answer. I am or I'm not right with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Most of us don't think much about it. It's not a big deal to most church-going folk. They think going to church, praying about once a week, reading a verse every now and then, that's okay. But listen. The Spirit of God is desiring to be an influence in your life 24/7. Right. Amen. And so, and there's a lot that we could say about that. In fact, I jotted a few things down sitting up here while the choir was singing. That the Spirit of God, there's life in the Spirit. Now, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. This is really not my main emphasis for this message. I want to deal with that other spirit that's mentioned. It's where I really want to get to. But in the Holy Spirit, there's life, Brother Mark, in the Holy Spirit. In fact, Romans 8, I believe it's verse number 2, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Life. When you get saved, the Spirit of God then and there takes up residence in you.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
There's an indwelling of His presence at that very moment. Now, there's a difference between the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The indwelling is a one-time event. Infilling is a daily, constant event that we need in our life to be filled with the Spirit of God. You say, well, I've been filled. Well, are you now? Amen. You've got holes in you. You leak. Amen. You may have been filled before, but you may not be filled now. Amen. It takes maintenance. It takes attention to be filled with the Spirit on an ongoing basis. But there's life in the Spirit. I want to ask you this morning, do you have life? I believe that's one of the greatest evidence of being saved is that you have life. You have the Spirit of life. Amen. Do you have life? Do you have spiritual life? Boy, that is a good question this morning. Amen. A lot of people's trying to get assurance in 400 different ways. They're trying to remember. Okay, now let's see. Now what did I say back there 30 years ago? Let's see. Now, and I can't well remember what I said. And you know, I don't really know if I really meant it or not. I can't recall. I'm not saved off of that. My assurance, Brother Silas, does not come off of my remembrance of what I said, when I said it, how I said it, did I mean it, you know? Amen. I've been married 28 years. Amen. I don't remember much I said at that wedding. I remember the I do's and the I will's because I did and that's done. Amen. I remember that, but I couldn't tell you if you held a gun to my head what my vows consisted of word for word, or hers for that matter. Amen. I do remember she said love, cherish, and obey. I do remember that part. I think she forgot it, but I remember it. But anyway, the point is, I'm not married if I remember. That my marriage is not based on, okay, do I remember what I said? Right. Or do I remember what she said? Do I think she meant it? Or whatever. That's not it. It's the fact that it happened and that vows were made before God and man, right, that were binding. Amen. Right. You're not, listen, here's a good way to know that you're saying, do you have life? Amen. If I have spiritual life right now, then evidently I got the goods when I got saved. Right. Amen. Assurance comes by the spirit of life. Hey, well, I don't want to deal with that. I just wanted to mention those things. And then not only is there life in the spirit. Amen. Sinners, you'd say, I can't live it. I'd get saved, but I can't live it. That's true. But the promise of the Word of God, the principle of the Word of God is this, that when you get saved, the Spirit of life comes inside you. You have the Spirit of God, you have the nature of God, the life of God in you, and that enables you to live for the Lord. Amen. Praise God, isn't that good? And that same life that enables you to live for the Lord turns your life against your old life of sin. Turns you against that. You've got a new life, a new Lord. But anyway, just a couple things. Not only is there the life of the Spirit of God gives life, and He can do that this morning. Amen. But also there's liberty in the Spirit. The Bible said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Thank God for that. Boy, we enjoy that around here. Liberty. Now, there's a difference between liberty and looseness. I don't have time to get on that. That's not my message this morning, but Galatians 5 talks about use not your liberty as an occasion of the flesh. Right. How many people says, oh, I'm not under the law, so I can live loose. I've got liberty, so I can be loose in my choices. I can be loose in my living. And I can do what I please when I please, how I please. But that is not the meaning of liberty this morning. That is not the meaning of the grace of God. The Bible talks about those, Brother Fultz, it turns the grace of God into lasciviousness. Right. That big old long word, lasciviousness, just simply means a license to be loose. Right. A license to sin. Well, I'm saved by grace, so I can just live like the devil. Friend, you better get back in your Bible.
You're right.
You better get in your Bible and find out the grace of God. Let me give you what the grace of God is in Titus chapter 2. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Right. What does the grace of God do? Teaching us to deny ungodliness, right, worldly lust, right, and that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's what the grace of God will do. The grace of God will cause you to be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The grace of God won't loosen you up. The grace of God will work in your life after you're saved, amen, to teach you how that you're to live. Amen. Amen. We had a physical birth. We come into this world, and at best we'd make a little goos and little sounds, but then those turns into mama and dada and give me. That's probably the third words that comes in a baby's mouth is give me or I want. Huh? Amen. Well, I want to get on that. I'd mess the message up. But this morning, hey, listen. Listen, they need to be taught. They're born. They have life. But they have to be instructed. They have to be taught. So it is when you're born again, the grace of God moves in and begins to teach you. And I'm glad we have right here the textbook. We have the textbook. The Holy Spirit wrote it. And the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and starts applying it into your life. Amen. So there's liberty in the Spirit of God. There's life in the Spirit of God. There's leadership in the Spirit of God. Romans chapter number 8. As many as, here you will know if you're saved, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Do you see the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life? Amen. That's not a preacher thing. That's a believer thing. Amen. There's leadership in the Spirit. There's love in the Spirit. The Bible said the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. How? Finish it. I stopped there to see if you was paying attention. The Holy Spirit, the Bible said the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. So there's love in the Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit enables you to love people that physically and humanly you couldn't do. No. Amen. That's why Jesus said, love your enemies. That's not possible from a human perspective, but it is through the Holy Spirit. There's love in the Spirit. There is, I like this, there's listening in the Spirit. Listening in the Spirit. Where do you get that? Ephesians chapter 6. Make your supplications known in the Spirit. Jude says, praying always in the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's listening. Did you know that there's not one of your prayers ever reaches the ear of God if it's not prayed through in the Spirit? Are y'all listening? We know it. Listen, I said it a while ago. God can't do anything for us unless it comes through the Holy Spirit. Did you know that that reverse is true as well? We can do nothing for the Lord. We cannot pray. Our worship never gets to Him. Our prayers never get to Him. Nothing that we do ever make it to God if it doesn't go through the Holy Spirit. Amen. What do we do that's in the energy of the flesh? Huh? How much religious things we do in the energy of the flesh that's going to be burnt up one day as wood, hay, and stubble. Why? Because the Holy Spirit wasn't in it. Hello? There is the listening of the Spirit. Listen, there's listening. That is when we pray under the influence, if you've been saved any length of time, hardly, you know what it is to pray, and then you know what it is to pray. You know when you're just throwing out words. You know when you're just giving the vain repetition, you're just throwing out heartless words, no burden, no desire, and you're just throwing them out there. You know what? That is unanswered prayers. Now, I don't mean to get on this, but how many of us in this service this morning are bothered by the thousands of prayers that never get answered? I guarantee you right here in this congregation, from the pulpit all the way through, the majority of our prayers never get answered, but I wonder if that bothers us. When we know that Bible projects God to be a God hearing, a prayer hearing, and a prayer answering God. I tell you what it is. The devil don't care if you pray if the Spirit of God is not on it. Heartless praying, burdenless praying, words without heart. But it's much better to have a heart without words. Amen. That's right. Well, amen. All right. So there's listening in the Spirit. Then there's, for lack of a better word, there's loyalty, or there is a lauding, L-A-U-D-I-N-G, lauding, a worship of God. Did you know you can't worship God apart from the Holy Spirit? Amen. That's why you got to be right with the Holy Spirit. If we're going to have revival today, tomorrow, next year, or any time, listen, we're going to have to be right with the Spirit of God. Sinner friend does not have in them the Spirit of God. Amen. They don't have life in them. They have physical life, they have earthly life, they have earthly nature, but they don't have a spiritual nature. They don't have a spiritual life. And therefore, listen, revival is not what they need. They need resurrection. They need regeneration. They don't need revival. Revival is for those that's been vived. We need revived. Amen. Well, that's right. So there is those things. And so you can see the importance, I believe, with me this morning, the emphasis throughout the scripture on in the Spirit. There's that phrase that's used multiple times, in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. You know. And there's a lot of praying in the Spirit. There's a lot of emphasis on that little term, in the Spirit. And that's what caught my attention, Brother Brad. I began to study those out, some of those out, but I got to noticing that there's some other in the Spirit phrases, but it's got the little S in it. And that's what got the little wheels turning in my head, little wheels. Turning in my head was that in the Spirit, capital S-P-I-R-I-T, is crucial. It is important. Revival will never come. God cannot help us apart from the Holy Spirit. But I want to tell you, even though you have the Holy Spirit in you, there is still a limitation. If there is not a connection of your spirit with His Spirit, if there's not a control of His Spirit over your spirit, your human spirit. Amen. Now listen to this. You are this morning a tripart being. Tripart, tri meaning three. You are body, soul, and spirit. I want you to listen to this. Your body and soul and spirit. We are a soul, we have a spirit, and we're in a body. You're not a body, you're in a body. You're not a spirit, you're a soul. Amen. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. You are a soul, you have a spirit, and you're in a body. Now here's, God give this to me. Our body hooks us up with this world. Our soul hooks us up to eternity. Because when God said you become a living soul, you will be eternally existent somewhere forever. So our body hooks us up with this world. Our soul hooks us up with eternity, but our spirit hooks us up to God. God, the Bible said, I read it to you in verse 24, God is a spirit. You cannot know God after your body. The flesh, your fleshly body, cannot know God. You have to get on God's terms. God, you have to get on God's ground. What is He? I read it. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. So if I'm going to know God, then I must get on spiritual grounds. God's already provided Himself, the Holy Spirit, but there's another essential, and that's my spirit, Brother Silas. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit. Little, small case S. My spirit's involved in that. I want to say this. We will not have revival because of problems on the Holy Spirit. Hello. Amen. I want you to get this morning. I want to slow down here and let you get it. I want you to get it this morning. There will never be a failure of revival, Brother Bob, because of a deficiency or a defect on the Holy Spirit. Nobody in this building or any generation will be able to point their finger at the Holy Spirit and say, we did not have revival because of, and then put the blame on the Holy Spirit. I want you to get that now. That's big. That's big. Everything we need, the Holy Spirit has. He helpeth our infirmities. He is a part of the Trinity. Listen, everything we need, Brother Tim, is in the Holy Spirit. And where's the Holy Spirit at? He's not floating around in the clouds. He's in believers. Everything you need. God said there, what is it, 2 Peter chapter 1? All things that pertain to life and godliness, he's already given to us. And hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Amen. Come on now, nod your head like that. Everything you need to live for the Lord, a victorious Christian life, God's already given to you in the person of the Holy Spirit. Say amen right there. And plus we have a Bible that's complete and perfect. Amen. You have the Holy Spirit and you have the Scriptures. What's our excuse? I tell you where the problem is, friend. It's not on the capital S-P-I-R-I-T. It's not on the Holy Spirit. It's on the human spirit that is living after carnality and disobedient to the Lord. Amen. When is revival going to happen? Where is it going to happen? To whom will it happen? It'll happen to that person that will take their human spirit that has been regenerated in the new birth and submit yourself to God and surrender to God and say, Lord, here I am. Right. Amen. That's right. Well, praise God, that's the truth, isn't it? Your spirit enables you to know and experience God. You get that? You cannot know God after any other way. You can't through your body. You're a body. You're in a body. You can't know God after the body. Amen. God is a spirit, so you've got to get on His level. Your spirit. That's why lost people can't worship. That's why a lost person cannot get where they need to get. They read the Bible and it has nothing to say to them because it's spiritually written and it must be spiritually discerned. You know why? Because lost people are dead spiritually. They're alive physically. They're alive humanly, but they're dead spiritually. That part of them, listen, remember what I said? Your spirit hooks you up with God. Your body hooks you up with this world. Your soul hooks you up with eternity. Amen. Heaven or hell, one or the other, your soul is going to be eternally existent somewhere. And remember, you don't have a soul, you are a soul. You are going to be somewhere, and there's only two options. Heaven or hell, forever and ever. Don't you believe a word of this JW teaching on the annihilation of the soul, that you'll go and you're just going to burn up like a piece of trash and it's over with. No. When God said to Adam, and I'm getting ahead of myself right here, but when God said to Adam, the day that you eat of that, you're going to die. He did not die physically. He died spiritually. He died spiritually. That part that your spirit hooks you up with God, remember? That's why Adam and Eve could have fellowship with God in the cool of the day in the garden. Why? Because God is a spirit, and Adam and Eve at that point had their spiritual life. They had spiritual life. They were alive spiritually. But when Adam sinned in the garden, transgressed against God's word, God's law, God said, you're going to die. Adam died spiritually. So that when God come to walk in the garden with them in the cool of the day, instead of Adam having the life that would love the Lord and run to the Lord, now he's spiritually dead and he does what? He runs from the Lord. That's the natural display of depravity right there, is to run from the Lord. Listen, let me say something to you today if you're lost. If you've got any thoughts of seeking God, God put those thoughts in your head. If you have any desire whatsoever in you to seek after God or to be interested in salvation at all, guess what? God put that there. That didn't come, my friend, of the flesh. Of the devil didn't certainly put that in your heart. God is working on your heart. Amen. You may not can explain it. You may not know all about it. All you know is that once I was engulfed in sin. I was involved in sin. I was seeking sin, but all of a sudden, Unexplainable, you don't know why, but all of a sudden it just don't taste the way it tasted. It just don't feel the way it felt. Something's going on in me. Hey, something's going on now. That old thing that I used to do, it don't do nothing for me no more. Let me help you with it. That's not sin just getting old. That's not you just getting old with sin. No. No, no. I'll tell you, listen, friend, you'll never outlive the power of sin. Hey. Just you getting old don't have a thing to do with your mind changing about sin. Hey, man. If that's going on in you, guess what? That is footprints of the Spirit of God in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Amen. That's God working in your life, and you don't even know it. He's turning you from sin unto Himself. Amen. That's right. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's the only explanation there is. 20-year-old, I went to church, that church, all of my life, and something was different, amen. That night I went, hey, 34 years ago, January 20th, 20 years old, and that night was different. God was working in me. God was working behind the scenes, hallelujah. Oh, my soul, I got blessed to pieces this week. You know what I got to thinking? God got me to thinking. Me being here, I've been here 20, I'm in my 24th year. I've been 24 years here. I went back through my life, Brother Mark. Brother Silas, I thought time and again I was one choice away from being ruined and disqualified and corrupted and would have never been in Rogersville. One choice. Not just one time, several times. One choice away. Are y'all listening? Girls, I'm talking about, Brother Silas, something that was as normal as breathing and unexplainable. It's like, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. No, I don't, I'm not going to go tonight. I'm not. Oh, come on. Now, no. Don't know why, Brother Tim. We're talking about as normal as somebody hungry picking up a chicken leg and eating it. Amen. But all of a sudden, out of the blue, here's what you've been wanting. Here's what your old stinking flesh wants. And there it is. It's presented. It's available. And just out of the blue, I don't believe him. Then I didn't know what all that was. I didn't know who that was. I just thought, well, you know, I'm just not going to do that. But I know what it was. God who sees the big picture. God who sees the big picture. God who saw January 20th, 1981, a young boy getting saved at Barry Rackley by name. And February the 2nd, surrendering to preach. And hallelujah. And in 92, June of 92, standing in behind this same pulpit in Rogersville, Tennessee, I was one choice away. Oh, listen, young people, you better be careful on your choices, because a choice made right now may be messing you up 30, 40, 50 years and possibly the rest of your life. Amen, amen, amen. One choice away. Hey, I got happy. I was by myself thinking on that. I got happy, Brother Brad. And I said, devil, you tried to ruin me. Devil, you put that in my life. Devil, you arranged the opportunity. Hey, man, you arranged the opportunity. But God providentially just stuck his hand in there and said, no, I've got bigger plans for you in the future. And if you yield right here, it's over with. Say amen right there. Hey, man, why not get on that? I don't know. I really don't know. Amen. God had me sidetracked there on something, but I was enjoying it. Amen. Listen. I do know now, I think, sinners don't have that. They don't have the Holy Spirit in them. They don't have that. They need to be regenerated. Amen. The Holy Spirit, listen, revival, everything we need comes through the Holy Spirit. Yes. But the Holy Spirit is then limited as well. If your spirit is in rebellion against Him, if your spirit is in disobedience against Him, if your spirit, are you listening? You know what spirituality is? Lord, give this to me this morning when I was shaving this mug. You know what spirituality is? It's how much influence the Holy Spirit has over your spirit. That's what spirituality is. It's not how loud you shout. I've seen people who was real loud that was real loose. I've heard people be real loud in church that was liars. I wanted to tell them from the pulpit to shut their mouth. Yeah. Amen. I just soon hear a gnat burp. Amen. That's right. Amen. I'd rather have a good case of indigestion. I don't want to hear it. If you don't live it, I don't want to hear nothing you got to say. Amen. And you'd feel that same way about me. Come on now. Amen. That's right. Well, meddling now, ain't running rabbits. But is your human spirit this morning, that's spirituality. How much influence does the Holy Spirit have on your spirit? How much control does He have in your spirit? Amen. How much influence does He have over your spirit? Listen, God is in charge of His spirit. You're in charge of your spirit. Have you brought your spirit and said, Lord, here I am? That's what surrender is. You bring your spirit and say, here I am, Lord. I want to be hooked up with You. I want You to influence me. I want You to lead me. I want You to control me. And I want You to conform me to the image of Your Son. Amen. Let me deal with a couple of things here quickly. We'll just pick this up again tonight, maybe if the Lord leads. I want to spend the rest of my time this morning on emphasizing, there's no need me to talk about you. Listen, no need me talking about you submitting your spirit and you know, bringing your spirit in obedience to the Lord and all that if you're not even saved. So I want to deal with these next few minutes on that subject of God's Spirit targeting our spirit in regeneration. Listen, revival will never come until first there's regeneration. And I looked it up, a definition for regeneration, if I can get it out here. The English word regeneration, by the way, it's only used twice in the New Testament. Matthew, Jesus used it once, and then Paul used it in the book of Titus, the word regeneration. The English word regeneration is the translation of this big old long word, and I'll try to pronounce it. I'll put both words together, and hopefully it'll sound decent. You won't know if it's not right. It's Palingenesia. Harry got it. Hey, that was good. Oh, Lord, help me right there. The first word is palin, P-A-L-I-N, and it just simply means again. The last word, genesia. Does that sound like a Bible book? Genesis? Again, beginning. Again, Genesis. Genesis means of beginning or birth. Amen. And so we get the word re, that is again, generation or a new birth, if you will. A new beginning. That's what being regenerated is. And let me just deal with some things quickly. If you're here lost, I want you to listen up real close. Number one, there are some mistakes of regeneration. There are some false teaching about this new birth and being born again. Somebody asked George Whitefield, who preached above 300 times out of John chapter 3 on the subject, you must be born again. Over 300 times he preached on you must be born again. And somebody asked him, said, Mr. Whitefield, why is it that you have preached so many times on John chapter 3, you must be born again? He said, it's simple. Because you must be born again. Amen. But there is, listen, the mistakes of it. What are some of the mistakes of it? One is, I call this religious regeneration. That is the concept that I am regenerated through religious deeds and practices. One of them is called baptismal regeneration. It's taught in this area strongly. Baptismal regeneration, that is that if you've been baptized, you're saved. If you're not baptized, you're not saved. Amen. We sing in our hymnal, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We don't sing Amazing Water, how sweet the splash. That wet a sinner like me. But listen, how many people look at religious regeneration? That's a mistake. Right. Oh, I'm a church member, preacher. Oh, I'm a Baptist. Or I've been baptized. Or baptized. Amen. Which side of the fence you're on? I read my Bible all the time. Amen. I had a fellow one time when I worked at a transmission shop in South Carolina. And it was my chore that evening to take Mr. White home because we had to keep his vehicle overnight. And so it was my business to take him home. And so I got to witnessing to Mr. White about being saved. And Mr. White told me, he said, yeah, he said, me and my wife, we read the Bible through every year. I thought, man, isn't that good? He said, yeah, we never miss church. Anytime the doors are open, we're there. The whole time he's talking, he's giving me these. That's commendable, wouldn't you think? Read his Bible through every year? Yeah, right. Where am I in here does that? Don't raise your hand. Because it'd be embarrassing. Right. Oh. Read your Bible through every year and pray. So we pray and we never miss church. We're faithful to the house of God. And the Holy Spirit kept asking me. Ask him if he is saved. Ask him if he has the Holy Spirit in him. So I let him run his course on his religious speech, and I said, Mr. White, I said, all those things are commendable. But I said, I want to ask you a question. The Holy Spirit just keeps impressing me to ask you this question. I said, do you have the Holy Spirit living inside you? And I quoted Romans 8, verse 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And you know what that man said to me, brother, riding down the road? He just told me, him and his wife reads the Bible through every year. He never misses church, and he's heavily involved in religious activities. He said, no, sir, I surely can't. I can't tell you that the Holy Spirit lives in me. I said, you know what the Bible said? And I quoted again. I said, God said, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. That's the only way God can identify those that belong to him is that you have his Spirit. You have his Spirit. Amen. You can take a magnet. Miss Morgan, you could take a magnet and put it over top of a pencils. And those pencils will never have any kind of movement, any kind of drawing, any kind of effect from that magnet. You know why? It doesn't share the nature. But you can take that magnet and put it over top of metal that shares its nature. And buddy, when it comes across, there will be that response. There'll be that pull on it. Amen. There'll be that natural desire to get close. That's why a lot of people sit in church. They got a Bible in their lap, but when the Holy Spirit gets to moving, there's no movement. There's no resonation in their heart. You're not hooked up. Amen? Listen, the mistakes. First is religious regeneration. Infant baptism is in that same heading. Now, I'm going to tell you, friend, there's going to be multitudes of people. And I'm going to try not to get on this because my blood pressure gets up. I've read it in their own material, friend, where they practice infant baptism and equate that for salvation. I have read it in their material. Amen. I have read it in their material. Infant baptism. This little baby's like this right here, or even smaller. How old is he? 3 months old. And their parents takes them to the front of the church, and they go through this little ritual and sprinkle them and pray over them. And you know what they equate that for? Salvation. They said that, and they use Acts 16:31 when Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer, when he asked the question, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. They use that scripture to say that believing Christian parents can bring their baby that knows nothing, does not exercise any will of its own, does not have any enlightenment about what sin is, and a believing parent can bring that baby to the front and bring it to a priest, bring it to a preacher, bring it and run it through infant baptism, and that baby will rise up and be told all of its life that it's saved. How many multiplied millions of people will be in hell because they believe that lie?
Right.
There's not a verse of scripture anywhere that you can even twist to support infant baptism. And I want to just go on record right here, friend. Hundreds of thousands upon hundreds of thousands of our Baptist forefathers lost their life standing against the religious state church against infant baptism. Hello? But there's churches right here in Rogersville that practice it. There's churches everywhere in this area that practice that right there. I've read it in their own material. Lutherans practice it. Catholics practice it, to name just a couple.
Right.
Amen. If you're of that, I can't help it. That's the truth.
Right.
Search it out for yourself. And if you've been holding on to that, I was baptized as a baby. Now this, we're not talking about, we practice dedication, baby dedication, like Hannah did with Samuel. Nothing to do with their salvation. It's basically we're giving it, God, you blessed me with this baby, and we want to give this baby back. We want to train this baby up in the nurture and this Lord. We want to tell this baby the truth. We want to, Timothy's mama, what was her name? Eunice. Or was it Lois? Help me. One was the mother and one was the grandmother. We were at least in that ballpark. Anyway, said from a child, thou hast known the scripture.
Right.
That's where dedication comes in. Parents saying, we're going to train you up. We're going to teach you the word of God. We're going to pray over you. We're going to keep you exposed to preaching. And hopefully one day when you reach the age of accountability, when you start knowing right and wrong, you'll walk the aisles and get saved. You'll bow to the bedside. Amen. There's been people saved in family altar. Brother Craig, you got saved in your mama's bedroom. Amen. We never have told any parent, okay, now that you've dedicated this baby's going to heaven, it's saved. Now, if it dies before it reaches the age of accountability, sure, it's safe.
Right.
Ain't no doubt about that. Amen. No doubt about that. But if, listen, when they reach the age of accountability and they know right and wrong and they choose wrong, they go from being a sinner by choice or conception to being a sinner by choice. Well, Lord help me, I got on that one too much. Mistakes of regeneration, religious regeneration, reformation regeneration. Oh, I'm saved because I straightened up and I've quit this and quit that and I've started this and I've started that and I've, you know, and those things are commendable. Amen. Anytime you quit something that's ruining your life, destroying your home or whatever, amen, that's a good thing to do. That's a good thing to do, to quit that which is destroying you, your body. Amen. That's commendable. But that's not salvation. Reformation, regeneration. Number three, I just simply, for a lack of a better word, called it relational regeneration. That is, it's hereditary. Oh, hey, I'm all right. Man, grandpa was this and grandma was that and mom and daddy was this and man, aunts and uncles and cousins and dogs and cats and everything was this. Man, I'm all right. It don't matter if you can trace a family tree back so far with Christians that it looked like an orchard, amen. It looks like a big wood lot, amen. It don't matter if you've got multiple family trees that said we're all Christians. It's not hereditary. Let me read you a verse of scripture. Let me read. We're right here at it anyway. John chapter 1. Let's read 11, 12, and 13. He came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him, but to as many as received him. What do you have to do to get saved? What do you do to make a gift authentic or what's a good word there? It makes a gift. You got to receive it. Right. The offering of a gift doesn't make it a gift. It's not a gift to you until you receive it. But to as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Look at verse 13. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Did you see that? It says you were not born of blood. You know what that means? It was not of human descent. It didn't come through your bloodline. It come through a bloodline, but not yours. And not anybody on human on this planet. Amen. Not of human descent. It's not of the will of the flesh, which means it's not of human desire. You'll never desire it. Nor is it of the will of man, which means it's not of human design, but of God. So there is the mistakes of regeneration that we can look at. There's the means of regeneration. There's the mystery of regeneration that we can talk about. The new birth is just as much a mystery as the virgin birth of Christ. You say, I don't believe in the virgin birth of Christ? You are not saved. There's no way, scripturally or spiritually, you can be saved, born again, if you, ladies and gentlemen, don't believe in the virgin birth. I didn't say you had to explain it. I can't explain. I can't even explain my physical birth. That's a miracle. But I know this. I believe it. Because the Bible says so. Amen. If God can bring the first man in this world without the aid of a mama or a daddy, I think he could probably handle Jesus coming in this world with the aid of a mother but not a daddy. I think he could handle that. Amen. The means, the mystery, the must of regeneration. It's not optional. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. The manifestation of regeneration. You have new life. You have new fellowship. God's people is your crowd. Brother Cody Shue, preaching Friday night, said, this is my crowd. This didn't used to be my crowd. I'd go to church, Brother Carroll, but it wasn't my crowd. I didn't fit in. I didn't have anything in common with them shouters and them the preachers and stuff. I didn't have nothing in common. My crowd was that cussing crowd. My crowd was that dancing crowd. My crowd was that dope and drinking crowd. That was my crowd. But when I got saved, I got new life and I got a new fellowship. Now a fellowship with God's people. Now a fellowship with God. Amen. But also not only, I'm talking about the manifestation, new life, new fellowship, but also there's new standards of righteousness. Praise God. Amen. God make a change in your life. If you're not changed, if God's salvation didn't change you, you're not saved. You said, preacher, that's judging. No, I'm just telling you what the Scripture says. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. If your profession of faith, your salvation, did not change your life, it has not changed your destiny. Amen. If it don't have enough power in your life right now to change the way you talk and change what you desire, amen, and change the way you think and change your attitude and change your behavior and change everything about you. And that's progressive too, ongoing change. How could you possibly think, well, it's changed my destiny? Oh no. Listen, before we can even deal with our spirit in revival, we need to deal with God's spirit and your spirit in regeneration. You need to be regenerated. Amen. See, when you had your physical birth, Brother Tim, you know what happened right there? You was generated. You was generated. In your physical birth, you was generated. You got life. You stepped into it, and you become part of a generation. You was generated. There's no way that you can be regenerated through a physical means, through an earthly means. Even Nicodemus said, how can a man when he's old enter the second time to his mother's womb and be born? How can this happen? And Jesus said, oh, no, you're missing it. You're missing it. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. There'll be nothing but flesh. It'll go to the grave being flesh. But he said, that which is born of the Spirit, there it is right there. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You need to be regenerated. You got generated when you had your physical birth, your natural birth. But you need to be regenerated with a new birth, a birth from heaven.
Right.
You know what that's what it means? To be born again means to be born from above. Born from above. James chapter 1, is it verse 17? Brother Trav, verse 17, James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning.
Right.
Every good and perfect gift cometh which way? Cometh down. Cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And one of the greatest things ever came down outside of Jesus Christ, and it came through him actually, verse number 18, of his own will, beget he us with the word of truth. I've been born from above.
Amen.
That's why heaven's my home. That's why my citizenship is there. My Father's there. My name is there. My home is there. Amen. Thank God. And Colossians 3 says, Brother Cody brought it out Friday night. Colossians 3 said, set your affection on things above. It's amazing how many hundreds of people I meet in this walk of life that'll tell me they're saved when their heart beats for this world. This world. All of their choices is for this world. Everything they want in life, it's got to do with this world. They have no affection on things above. Their heart is not on things above. Their desire is not on things above. That's why you can preach on heaven and it's a boring subject. You can preach about the coming of the Lord and it's a boring subject. Why? Because people likes it here. They can't get excited about leaving. They're too excited about living.
Right.
Amen. Have you been regenerated? Reborn. Have you been reborn? It's the only way you can get saved. It's so simple, but how many people's made it complex? Brother Webb, how did you get into this world? How did you get into this world? Physical birth. You can't come through a textbook and get in here. Brother, you're in the medical field, there's one way to get in this world. You got to be born here. Isn't that right?
Right.
Amen? And you can't cancel that birth. You can't cancel that birth. That birth puts you in this world, and the choices you make, good or bad, is going to affect you while in this life. Well, how do you get into God's world, Brother Ron? Be born again.
Right.
Got to be born from above. The Spirit of God takes the Scriptures, the incorruptible seed. There's never been a physical birth apart from a conception of a seed. There'll never be a spiritual birth apart from the conception of the incorruptible seed, the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God, shows you that you're a sinner, shows you that you need the Lord. Amen. Shows you that you're a sinner, and shows you that Jesus is the Savior. Works faith in your heart, works repentance in your heart. And you come to God based on His Word. Holy Spirit draws you. No man can come to the Father except the Father which sent me, draw him. There's got to be a drawing in your heart. God's got to be speaking to you, dealing with you, and drawing you. He's not wanting to hurt you. He's wanting to give you life. He's wanting to set you free from your sin and condemnation. Amen. He's wanting to forgive you. Isn't that wonderful? He's wanting to give you the best thing you ever had. It's amen. I'd rather be saved this morning than anything that I know. And I've said this before, and we're right now done. I've met hundreds, I wouldn't be exaggerating to say hundreds of thousands of people in my life. And I've never met one that said, you know what, Rich, I wished I hadn't got saved. That was the worst mistake of my life. That trip to the altar or whatever, that was so foolish. I'd rather be in sin. I've never heard one say that. Never. Brother Tim, have you ever heard anybody say that? Brother Carol, you've been saved long enough. Anybody in here? Brother Brad, you ever heard anybody say, oh, that's a mistake. Oh, being saved, that's a bunch of hooey. Hogwash. Man, it's nothing. No, but I'll tell you what I have heard. I have heard hundreds of thousands of people over the years, Brother Craddock, say that's the best thing to ever happen to me. The only regret I've ever heard.